Welcome to San Diego Magazine's Happy Half Hour. David with you as always, and as always, Troy and Marie. How are your fourths, everyone? How was everything?
Good.
Yeah, it was really good. I was actually just down to Anime trying to poach all their kitchen staff from my own restaurant.
Just kidding.
Like everybody else in this industry.
We're going to talk about this in a little bit. That is voice of Tara, who is the executive chef at Anime in downtown. We're going to have a good conversation today. But my fourth, you know what? I really, Claire, my wife, was a little bit under the weather. And when your pregnant wife is under the weather, all you basically do is you sit home and you watch some really bad TV shows. Prison Break from the 1990s or mid-2000s, watching that. Ooh. Oh, it's the worst. It's like prison soap opera. It is the best. I mean, it's like you can feel your brain rot while you watch it, but it's just you're also addicted to it. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's just you can't stop popping them. Like, it's like potato chips have suck. It's so good.
Marie and Tara, what about you? Do you guys do anything fun for the holiday?
I try to do at least as much as possible. We've been not in the restaurant, so any time where I can just lay there and do nothing was appreciated. So, but I did hang out with my family and eat some good food. We went around Liberty Station, you know, kind of hung around there and pretty relaxed. Not much.
Wait, Tara, are you from San Diego?
I'm born and raised in LA, but I've been here 11 years now, so I'd like to say I'm a San Diegan at this point, but yeah.
There'll be a quiz in a little bit.
Just a beach and micheladas and then a whole lot of nothing, which is exactly what I wanted for 3 days.
Dang. I just barbecued like 17 times or something like that. That was pretty much my weekend. And getting sunburnt.
You know,
all right.
You still look tragically white. Are you sure you got sunburned?
I sunburn, become completely red for like a day and a half, and then just boom, instantly back to pale.
It's Vermont
for me to tan.
That's Vermont.
Yes, indeed. All right. Well, let's just jump into some news and notes through San Diego. A brand new restaurant just opened in Carlsbad last week.
It's called Ponto Lago, and it's at the Park Hyatt Aviera. So the menu is inspired by Baja California. There's tacos, empanadas, and lots of ceviches and ceviche sampler platters. So there's a couple of interesting things on the menu. There's a daily roast, and the protein changes every evening. They have a whole roasted squab and a suckling pig on Fridays. And some dishes will also be cooked tableside. The Union Tribune did a quick write-up about the spot, and they said there's going to be manila clams with green rice. I didn't know that tableside preparations would ever, you know, return to restaurants. So this is good news.
Yeah, that feels like good news to me. Tara, are you guys going to be doing tableside presentations? Are things somewhat returning to normal? Can we do that really intimate service type of stuff yet?
I mean, our dining room has been pretty full since we reopened. So I get a lot of comments that people felt like it was normal dining out right when they were having dinner here. So I think we're getting close to there. Masks are gone, so that helps a lot. You can actually look at your server and not see only their eyes. But tableside service, you never know, maybe a cocktail here and there or you know, the ideas are endless now that everything's open. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, a couple of things with this new restaurant. First, that it's doing a pigeon, you know, a squab. Squab, if you haven't had pigeon, is fantastic. I mean, I love it. It reminds me of like, you know, quail a little bit, you know, it's almost like a red meat. It comes out. I mean, it's fantastic. Have you cooked a squab before, Tara?
I have. I cooked it just like you would any other like dark, like a duck or anything like that. I think it's delicious also. It's just a smaller version, you know. I think the meat has a nice flavor and it goes with a lot of things. I just think people are afraid of the word squab or anything that isn't chicken or duck, you know. But right. I think it's delicious. You know, other countries, they eat all sorts of kind of game. So I'm always down for it to try something new. So.
Yeah, and I love the fact that we're just becoming Mexico North, to be quite honest with you. I love that we're really expanding our, you know, Baja and Mexican cuisine, because for, I mean, decades and generations, nobody would let cooks go beyond three-rolled tacos in a bag for $5 in a drive-thru. And now the more and more high-end chefs that are embracing Baja cuisine and Mexican cuisine, we're letting it elevate to a level where it already is in Mexico and deserves to be here in the U.S. So I think people are getting used to paying a little bit more, you know, for a good chef's talent and skill and, you know, cost of ingredients to kind of, you know, cook that cuisine in a way that, you know, they want to at the highest level. So fantastic.
Philip Estevan's Fast Casual Play It restaurant just opened at Liberty Public Market.
So it did. We had a Philip on the show last summer, and the concept is called White Rice. Back then, it was purely a delivery service, and he also donated tens of thousands of rice bowls to hospital workers and people in need. So the brick and mortar location for White Rice is finally open at Liberty Public Market, and it's specializing in C-log. That's garlic fried rice served with meat and topped with an egg. And looking at the menu, there's rice bowls with lechon, that's crispy pork belly, longaniza. There's also a vegetarian version with mushroom and tofu. And they're also serving ube pandesal and lumpia. I will have to stop by this weekend.
I don't care what I think about this one. Tara, you are Filipino American in San Diego, you know, and Philip specializes in Filipino food. How excited are you about this?
I'm so stoked. Phil's like my brother. We've known each other for like at least 10 years now. We both came from the Tender Greens kind of family and kind of grew around San Diego. So I'm so excited for him. It's finally time that he gets his own stuff. And if White Rice is the start of it, I'm sure there's a lot more to follow after that. And he's helping put Filipino food on the map. I mean, that's what we all want to do. So it's, our community is very supportive of each other, and I highly support him and getting our food out there. And silogs are our best way to go. It's kind of like what we used to bring for lunch as a kid. You bring a silog, so you have garlic rice and some sort of protein, whether it's an egg and a lechon or something for dinner, and the kids next year are like, what are you eating? but it's definitely a good intro to Filipino food, and I'm so happy for him. So
would you compare it a little bit to like a bibimbap in Korean food?
I guess so, maybe. It's like silog is like anything with garlic rice and egg. So like, it's more like a late night food. So it's just super savory, and you can put an egg on anything. It's like, you can't go wrong sometimes. So it's like, you know, but yeah, silog, it's like, I guess it's like breakfast to, how would I say, like chicken fried steak to like Filipinos, I guess, or something like that.
There
something
you go.
Like bacon eggs. It's like all those classic things that you eat at a diner. This is the stuff that we would eat for breakfast. So
totally breakfast, or like a 2 a.m. breakfast too, maybe after you've gone out.
You're like super hungover, or it's late at night right after you go to the bar. We used to go to Zarlitos. Shout out to Zarlitos in National City. They're closed now, but they were one of those places where you can go. You like, it's like 1 a.m. You're like, I want a silog. So you go and grab a silog, whether it's with fish and rice or tostino and rice or lechon and rice, something like that. But it soaks up all that alcohol.
Awesome. Well, that is their hot plates for this week. Every week, Marie does put up a blog post on sandiegomagazine.com linking to all of these type of things. And I also want to let you know, we do have the Best of San Diego party presented by Valley View Casino and Hotel coming up. The event brings together the top local restaurants, breweries and wineries and distilleries and businesses as featured in San Diego Magazine's Best Restaurants and Best of San Diego issues. Guests can expect unlimited bites and sips from more than 100 vendors, along with live bands and entertainment, interactive art installations, relaxing lounge spaces, dancing and more. The event is on August 20th from 6:30 to 9:30, and you can get your tickets at sdmag.com/bestofsd. I know, I hope to see you all there.
Oh man, I can't wait for an actual party. The first one, San Diego Magazine, even before I joined San Diego Mag, you guys, we obviously now, since I've been here for 12 years, we know how to throw a party. That's kind of what we do, you know, and I used to always, I kind of resented San Diego Magazine for a long time because I worked for some competitors, and you know, I was like, man, but damn, they throw some good parties. I want to get an invite. So now we're actually going to have one again. And Dancing and More sounds pretty scandalous. I just want to mention that.
And also, we want to hear from you, our listeners. Do you have a question for Troy? Need any restaurant recommendations, or is there a guest you would like to see on the show? Or if you want to sponsor this fine podcast, let us know. Give us a call at 619-744-0535 and leave a voicemail, or you can email us at happyhalfhoursdmag.com. Also, as a reminder that we want to know if you love this podcast, a great way to support San Diego Magazine is by subscribing at sandiegomagazine.com. Marie, tell us a little bit about the upcoming July issue.
So for the July issue, one of our freelance writers, Jennifer McEntee, she did a great story about the 46th annual Pride celebration that's happening in Hillcrest. And she talked to several of the business owners that started the event and the ones that fund it. So we talked to the owner of Riches. We talked to the owner of the Crest Cafe, and just basically the old school people that made the neighborhood what it is today and that keep the event going. So the event's not going to be the same this year because of COVID restrictions. I think since we went to press, they said that the block party will be back. So we will be updating that on our website. And even though the celebration's not going to quite look the same, there's still numerous ways that you can come out and support.
That is awesome. I mean, you think that we have, you know, a Hillcrest, you know, as somebody who grew up with an LGBTQ plus family, you know, I mean, Hillcrest is really like the stronghold, you know, the sense of community, obviously, for the LGBTQ plus community. And I would go down there a lot, you know, with my mom, and, you know, I went to Crest Cafe a ton, you know, and the gay community in San Diego, you know, not to give singular credit to a part of our community, but the gay community brought food to San Diego. Hillcrest, for me, I mean, at least in my limited experience, I mean, back in the 80s and 90s, that Hillcrest was it. It was the Little Italy before Little Italy. It was the North Park before North Park. It was where we started to like just discover, you know, Afghan food. And, you know, and that was where Deborah Scott got her start with Kemo Sabe. And I mean, it was just that really kind of helped kick off everything food in San Diego. And I'm glad to see that Pride is starting to get somewhat back in a semblance of, you know, normalcy again.
Totally. That's so awesome. I can't wait to read it. And while she has been with us the whole time this week, we do have a very special guest. Joining us is Tara Monstad, the executive chef at Anime. Tara has also worked at Herringbone, Burlap, and Armaza in Los Angeles. And this is her first executive chef position. Tara recently changed the menu at Anime, and several of the new dishes reflect her Filipino-American heritage and the flavors that she grew up eating, like the beef short ribs. Tara says that her leadership style is modeled after her mentor, the late chef Anthony Sensei. When she's not at the restaurant, she enjoys spending her days off with her wife and their potbelly pig, Biggie Smalls, and their dog, Maya.
Oh my God.
And I will say, I went to Anime recently with Marie, and it was one of the best meals I've had in I don't know how long. It was amazing, so thank you.
Thank you. It was so nice having you guys here. It's like nice to see people who enjoy food and like just have people in the restaurant, period. So, but I'm so glad you guys enjoyed when you guys were here. So,
all right. So talk to me. I mean, I grew up in San Diego, and I know we have a really strong Filipino American community, you know, and I grew up going to my friends, you know, cookouts and whatnot, and, you know, eating a lot of Filipino food. But didn't seem like there was a ton of representation of Filipino American food in like restaurants. And, you know, I mean, obviously we had some in National City, we had a little bit in Mira Mesa, you know, and there was a couple of places here and there, but I feel like it's having a renaissance. I mean, do you feel this way, and why is it coming about now?
I do. I mean, it's amazing how much when I took the position, I wasn't really sure what was going to happen. All I know is that I wanted to bring Filipino food more in the light. And being a Filipino American kid, there are certain foods that we haven't had, especially that are like native to the Philippines, that, you know, we eat here, but there's like renditions of Filipino food that has American twists, you know. So it's nice to see. Because I feel like it's been a long time coming. I mean, the Filipinos have a lot to do with American history, how much we've Filipinos have contributed to the country and whatnot. But it's nice to see our food come to light. And I'm just kind of trying to do what Anthony Sensei was trying to do and kind of, you know, have people not so afraid of it. I think a lot of people, when they don't know a certain word or a certain thing, they just kind of stay away. But that used to be like that with Chinese food and Japanese food. It's just taking a few people to kind of just keep pushing it and pushing and pushing it till people are like, oh, it's actually really, really great. And then it just starts a conversation and it goes from there and there and there. And then who knows what Filipino food will be in 5 to 10 years, you know what I mean? So it takes a while, but hopefully people like Nicole Poinseca or like Phil or all the other chefs in here in San Diego, like DJ, Marlow, Craig, like we're all trying to do our part, push it forward. So it doesn't take one person, it takes a whole team. And I think all of us are on the same boat and that's what we're trying to do together. So
I want to talk a little bit about Anthony Sensei. Anthony Sensei recently passed. He was a longtime chef in San Diego and, you know, well loved by almost everybody universally in San Diego. Just, you know, credits him a lot. And not just only with Filipino American food, but just like, you know, teaching a bunch of like younger chefs like yourself. You know, like what made Philip so well loved? What did he bring to San Diego? I mean, what do you remember of him?
What made Anthony?
I'm so sorry. Yeah, Anthony.
He had a way of talking to people where it made you want to work hard for him. Yeah, I mean, there's like you can teach people how to cook, but you can't teach them how to care. And he kind of taught us, like, you know, how to have heart and it's not, you know, put love into your food. It's just he laid a good foundation of what it is to be a chef and how to cook with like feeling and love and, you know, no, like take out the ego and just worry about yourself and don't cook to impress, but cook to show love so other people can feel it. You know, he loved our cuisine very much so. And he was just a good guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. I could turn to him, you know, even till like the week before he passed away, I talked to him and he was texting me and just tell me how proud he was. And he just, like, you just one of those guys, you just want to make him proud by, he said, my success is contingent upon yours. So, yeah. You know, and so me being successful, it's kind of weird because he worked for Burlap for Ryan Malarkey. And that was like 10 years ago or 8 years ago. And then here I am with Brian Malarkey's other Asian American restaurant. And I'm his, you know, I'm his mentee in that here I am, you know what I mean? So he was supposed to come in for dinner, but he just couldn't make it. You know, yeah. His body was kind of failing on him, but he told me he was there in spirit and he was so proud of me and, you know, gave me advice all the way to the very end until he couldn't talk anymore. You know, and that's just the type of guy he was. He's like, he's always there for you, whether you need help or not. So
what I think that you're proof of, you know, somebody's lasting effect, you know, I mean, it's a cascade of knowledge, you know, you continue on, like he trains you, you are training people now at Anime, you know, and Filipino American food, obviously, which was really important to Anthony, you know, like it continues to evolve and grow, you know, through his tutelage of you, with your tutelage of your staff, you know, so it just expands our scene. You know, you just took your first job as an executive chef. And I have a really important question. Why the hell did you do that? If we know how hard that is. Oh, my God. What made you want to run the whole show? It's so much easier to just be second or third in command.
I had a lot of push, a lot of people here, like Carlos and Sarah, the chefs of the other restaurants kind of rooting for me, Alicia. And like, so if it was, honestly, if it wasn't for them pushing me, who knows if I would have taken the spot. But yeah. They, you know, sometimes it takes a little push from other people for you to, you know, say, you know, it's your time. And, you know, after COVID, it's like, why not? You know, why not? You know, it's, I love food. And, you know, people said, you know, I think it's your time. So, you know, I just thought I'd give it a try and give it a go. And I'm just lucky enough that people are liking my food.
That's
getting kicked to the ground. It's a hard person to follow up after Nate Appleman. You know, I respect him. He's one of my mentors also.
Right.
And, you know, if anything, just like with Anthony Sensei, I just want to make Nate proud also, you know what I mean? So, but so far we're on a roll, I think. They had their dinner. I guess they can attest to it. So it's not a bad meal, I like to say. So.
Yeah, thanks for the invite, Dave and Marie.
Next time, Troy, next time.
That's all right. I'm coming in on Wednesday. I have my reservations. My wife and I are coming in. Okay, so question for you. I mean, if you had, every chef has kind of a signature, right? You know, I mean, if you talk to Richard Blaze, I mean, his signature overwhelmed him for a while. He was the liquid nitrogen guy, you know, and now he's not. He's cooking more like, you know, soulful ancient techniques and things like that, you know. You know, like J6 used to be known under Chef Christian Graves for seafood because he worked at Farallon. He knew how to break down every kind of fish, start them whole. You know, what is your signature? I mean, what?
Well, a lot of the team like to tell me that my signature dish is my kare, which is a braised short rib here. Kare is usually a very it's a humble dish. But we take it and I kind of elevate it, but with short rib, and I put a little more technique into it as far as the way I cook it. Yeah. But you definitely feel like soul in it, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. It's like, it looks pretty, but in the end, it's just good cooking done right. And it's just good Filipino food done right, you know? And there's, other than that, it's like, it's got, I was kind of unapologetic with this one. We have bagoong on it, which is Filipino shrimp paste. And for a lot of people, it can be a little aggressive. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those accompaniments with the kare that you have to have for it to be the right bite. And so for my way of people to force people to eat it the right way is I made it like an oil and I put it over, and people don't even know that they're eating shrimp paste sometimes. So because if you put that straight on the menu, be like, oh no, that's weird. You know, it's just put on the side. And then if you put it on the side, then they don't eat it the right way. And you know, it's this. And so it's just, I built the bite for them. And yeah, it's one of the most popular entrees on the menu right now. So it was one of those dishes. I'm like, hell yeah, the Filipino food, like it's in your face. There it is.
And that shrimp paste is on top, which is absolutely key for it. I mean, yeah. People don't realize what I was trying to convince people is that, you know, like people who are afraid of fish sauce, you know, I'm like, well, do you like Worcestershire? You know, I mean, that's what Worcestershire is. It's a fish sauce, you know?
Yes. It's in everything. Like people have no idea that they're eating it. They just taste salt. You know what I mean? Salt and umami. And to me, fish sauce is an ingredient you can put almost on anything. And like even Italians, they have a type of fish sauce too, that, or they start with anchovies in their pasta sauce. It gives that umami. You know what I mean? And people don't even know it, because by the time it's done cooking, it's like you just taste the good part of it. You just forget that it's fish. You know what I mean? So, or aged fish, you know. So,
yeah. Do you find that it's easier now to get people to try different kind of cuisines, you know, because of the evolution of food media, I guess, and Instagram and Andrew Zimmern and Anthony Bourdain? And, you know, do you feel like we've chased food to every corner of the planet on all kinds of media now? And people are like, oh, I want to try it. Or do you still find a hesitancy that they still want their meat and potatoes?
I think it depends where you are. You know, I mean, honestly, like San Diego, we're doing better, but there's still some few who want their meat and potatoes. You know what I mean? But I think definitely with social media and everything, they just, it puts food out there so much quicker that people are like, oh, I really do want to try that. Like there's bloggers everywhere on YouTube. There's food travelers. There's like Andrew Zimmern was on TV, but now you go on YouTube, there's all sorts of bloggers like in different countries just trying different things. So, you know, I think just like people who don't have food surrounding them, who are limited, are wanting to try those things, and they're willing to travel to go and try them finally. And we're lucky that we live in California, where some of those flavors are accessible. You know what I mean? But here in San Diego, we have them. You just got to find them. You got to do your research. You know, so hole in the wall places are there. It's just you got to look for it. So.
Yeah. And how is it running that big of a restaurant now? I mean, you've been in big restaurants, obviously. You know, you've had the experience, and, you know, whether it be with Brian Malarkey or Amatza, you know, I mean, but how much of a beast is that thing when you're looking out? You've got how many seats? How many covers can you do on a busy night?
Over 300. Like we did the most last week. I think we did 340, 350 last week.
Yeah.
For our dining room, that's pretty big. Urbanwood, shout out to Urbanwood. They're in the like the 600 sometimes. I'm like, it's crazy, but it's a push, man. Like I said, I'm grateful that we have full dining room turning two or three times versus not at all. You know what I mean? So it's a beast, but I have worked in plenty of restaurants like Juniper and Ivy where we're doing pretty like technique wise food and we're doing it at high volume. You know what I mean? So you kind of learn how to put things out in a way where it's like, it's, you're still presenting something nice, but it's, you're doing it for a 600 cover, you know what I mean? So it's, I have experience in like different places, even Tender Greens, working for them, me and Phil, you just go nonstop, you know, nonstop every day. So it's like, it's a grind, but it's what we live for. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And the last question for me, the industry question that, yeah, I feel like I have to ask every chef and every restaurant owner right now, everybody I talk to right now is saying they are getting called, their staff is getting call after call after call for people trying to poach their staff. You know, I was like offering them $2,000 signing bonuses if they leave your restaurant and come to the other restaurant. How crazy is this right now?
Yeah, it's survival of the fittest right now. You know, all of us are pretty desperate. You know, I've never seen where people give, like, we have incentive here, or if we find, if somebody recommends somebody and they stay for 90 days, you know, you know what I mean? And, you know, it's crazy. I wish before it was like an abundance of people. Now it's just like, where is everybody? Or, you know, they just, or they don't want to work. I have no idea. Or, I mean, COVID, who knows, you know, COVID just did a lot of crazy things to our industry. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, I mean, it's whether they're leaving us or they're coming here, it's a true story. You know what I mean? The great staff is limited. Finding hardworking people who want to do this every day. I think a lot of people maybe fell out of our industry because it is a grind, you know, and it's long hours, you know, certain pay is sometimes it's just not for them anymore, or they want to go off and do their own thing. And they realize that, you know, actually I want to do my own thing now. I don't want to work for somebody else. So, you know, it sucks, but we're all in it. We're all in the same boat. So what, you know, who am I to complain if all of us are suffering from the same problem? So.
Yeah. And has it taught you different lessons as a chef too, how to do more with less? And, you know, that's the bright side, I guess, that I've heard.
Yeah, it's an efficiency. You know what I mean? Sometimes you have to ask yourself if that's doing that certain step is worth it. You know, sometimes it's like, is that menu too big? You know, is that really worth putting an hour and a half time when they can be doing something else? I think efficiency and in trying to, you know, even more so treating your staff with love and respect, you know, because they're not dispensable. You know, these are people that work really hard and choose to be here. And I try to teach, you know, treat my team with love and respect and let them know that I don't have any of, you know, any people aren't coming in just for me. They're coming in for your hard work also, you know, because I'm not cooking back there by myself doing 300 plates a night. You know what I mean? So it's, but that's like one thing that sensei taught me, you know, just, you know, treat your staff with love and they'll give you love back and they'll grind for you. So I'm hoping that is something that will help me keep my staff, you know, and not be like, well, F this, I'm going to go somewhere else, you know? So.
Well, I hear your restaurant grind for you coming up one of these days. That's what it's going to be called.
Yeah. I know. I keep saying grind, but that's like the perfect word for me.
Awesome, Tara. Thank you so much for joining us. Let everyone know where they can find you or the restaurant or anything like that on social media or for ordering.
So order, we do takeout, but although most people love to dine in, we are reservations are available on Open Table. We are in close to Seaport Village. We're down the street, 969 Pacific Highway. And yeah, you just come in and have dinner. Reservations, we open at 5:30 or 5 o'clock on Fridays and Saturdays. Have to admit, Fridays and Saturdays are popping right now. So if you want your reservation, you get it in early. But we love to have people during the week. It's just as awesome. It's just same food and the vibe is good. So.
Right. That's good to hear that you're popping. Nice. Great to hear after this damn year.
Let's dive right into two people, $50.
Where do I like to go? Anywhere in Convoy. Yeah, I eat there multiple times a week. So other night I went to Shanji, which is, I think that's how you say it. It's like the hand-pulled noodles. I was craving hand-pulled noodles and dumplings and can't go all the way to New York for some. So that's the closest thing you got here in San Diego for me, at least I know of. And that's what I got for dinner for under $50. So.
Those are the noodles that are on the cover of our June issue. The hand-ripped noodles. Yeah, awesome.
They're delicious. They're awesome.
I'm going to say a restaurant that I've resisted for a long time, and I actually went this weekend, and I was really pleasantly surprised. Breakfast Republic. I know. I have resisted. I will tell you this, though. I had a very, very simple dish, two simple dishes that were pretty fantastic. I had a vegan. They used the just eggs. A vegan omelet. With sauteed asparagus and avocado and some TVP, some textured vegetable protein inside, you know, but it was really, really surprisingly good. And I was like, God, I mean, this is a really, really well done. And they have Cafe Moto, which obviously does a really good job in San Diego for their coffee. And then for the third thing that I had there was a pina colada French toast. It was coconut, toasted coconut with like brulee pineapple and kind of soaked pineapple too. It was one of those. I honestly, I've resisted this restaurant for a very, very long time. And I sat there and I'm like, you stand corrected, sir. Like, you really enjoyed this meal and you need to admit this right now. And so here I am doing a mea culpa. Fantastic. Nice work.
They always have a line out the door. There's like standing in the street practically. Like,
dude, I know. You know what? Very few people
love breakfast here. That's why they love.
They do. Breakfast. It's a breakfast town, isn't it? I mean, what the thing is, though, nobody wants to do it as a chef or an operator. Like, I mean, you really want to get up at 3 a.m. or, you know?
No. I hate brunch. As a chef, I hate brunch, and a lot of chefs will say the same thing. But I hate working brunch. I don't mind eating brunch, but every brunch spot, there's a crowd. Like, it's like, yep. Just that alone will turn you off. Like, you go, you walk by Great Maple, there's a crowd. There's Breakfast Republic, there's a crowd. It's just like, geez, like, they're eggs, people. But but I get it. You know, people want a good meal and they want good pancakes. I could go for good pancakes. Like, yeah. You know, I'm more of a breakfast at night type of person versus breakfast.
Same. I'm a Denny's kid. You know what I mean? I grew up there.
I'll hit up Redford's every once in a while at 1 in the morning. You know what I mean? So,
nice. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll see you there probably next week.
Yeah.
I'll go with the place where I bought lunch for my coworkers last week. So I fed three people for, I think, like $30. Roxy's Tacos. It's a new spot on C Street on the trolley line. It's next to the empanada place. It has like a neon hot pink exterior. It's just solid and good. We got the carne asada sandwiches. The meat was seasoned well, and it's a big portion. So, yeah, three people at $30, you can feed the whole family at Roxy's.
Nice. I'm going with the North Park Farmers Market. I went down there last Thursday, and I hadn't been in a while. And my gosh, there's some good stuff there. But so I got a whole bunch of stuff basically then turn into a meal. There's a place that's just literally called Gourmet Tamales, and they're super, super good. And I got their roasted mushroom and roasted garlic tamales. I loved it. There's a hot sauce place. Well, it's, why is it that some hot sauces just have to have stupid, stupid names? So the name of the company is called Down to Ferment. The hot sauces I got, one's called Dad Bod hot sauce, but it's super good. It's got serranos, tomatillos, and then it's also got Cascade hops that are made into it, which is really, really good. And then I got this other one. Ugh, it just hurts me to say the name of it. The name of it is Beat Your Meat, but beat like B-E-E-T.
Coming from a company whose initials are DTF?
No. I know.
No.
But this hot sauce is so flipping good. It's made with like, I'm also made with beets, and I don't think I'd ever had like a beet-based hot sauce, but very impressive. Then I grabbed
some
vegan.
Do they have a salami one?
No, they did not have a salami one. And then got some fresh green beans, like assorted colored green beans, or beans, I guess you would just say. I got some vegan pepper jack cheese, which I then melted on top of the tamales. It's just like a little extra something. And because it's right there by Epic Brewing's tasting room, grabbed myself a six pack of their beer, and what a wonderful dinner.
Good. Just compose it like a good, like a little bit of this, a little bit of that. How's those sauces, like hot, or are they?
The beet one isn't that hot. It's like very comfortably hot. The green one is definitely a little bit spicier, but they had other ones that were even like hotter than that. But yeah, I was like super impressed with it. Oh, and the other cool thing is all the hot sauces aren't vinegar based. They're all fermented, like they're basically kombucha fermented base.
Oh, that's cool.
I will say I will take hot sauces made by a local over ketchups made by a local. The one bad thing about Breakfast Republic and any restaurant that I've ever been to, no matter how good the chef is, you can't beat Heinz. You just can't beat it. Like all the house-made ketchups, I'm like, the house-made ketchup, I tried it. And I'm like, oh God, it's terrible. No, can't do it, man.
It's different. It hits different.
It does. You need those like conditioners and all that crap, you know?
I agree. Well, Tara, thank you so much for joining us again this week. I can't wait to come back down to anime soon. You're doing wonderful things there.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. I love talking to people about food. I can do it all day. So
yeah, congratulations on the position. Congratulations on a new chapter in your life. I know that you've worked your butt off and under some really good chefs and some really good operations. And I'm sure you will make San Diego proud. And it is a wonderfully beautiful restaurant. So congrats.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
You can find Troy on Instagram at Hey Troy Johnson. You can find me at David Eli Martin, and you can email Marie at marietsdmag.com. And thank you again for listening. We'll be back with you next week.
See you guys.